Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now to talk about football. Get outside of Owings Mills just a little bit. He's from ESPN. And it's like he's been avoiding us like we were bill collectors, it seems, this week.
Yater's going to yate.
Yater's going to yate. Yeah. Field Yates. Field, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us, bud.
It's personal, guys. It's truly personal. I kid.
Right.
I certainly, a goofy week on the schedule front here, not just because of, all the moving targets during the fourth week of the preseason. But a lot of balls in the air, but I'm glad we got the chance to connect.
I appreciate you joining us here. And Aaron Donald, I guess he's one of the big news stories of the day. 6 years, $135 million. 87 guaranteed. You knew it looked like, Field, they were getting close to this sort of resolution last couple of days, but does the money make sense here for the Rams?
It does. And here's what I would say is that we are going to potentially break some new ground in the NFL in this regard. When the Broncos signed Von Miller to that lucrative long-term deal, one of the narratives that you heard about was how, now again, this was after Peyton Manning or right at the end of Peyton Manning's career, but it was, this is our quarterback contract on the roster, right? That's what it was, because it's hard to balance multiple players on the same roster that are taking up, let's say, somewhere between 12 or 14% of the salary cap. But the Rams have now locked up Aaron Donald on a quarterback contract, which, again, for lack of a better term, that's basically what it is. Can they do the same thing with Jared Goff in a couple of years? Understanding they also have Todd Gurley. They also have Marcus Peters, who will eventually want to get paid. Brandon Cooks has been paid. Rob Havenstein has been paid. A lot of players have been paid on that roster already. I would argue, though, that even if this eventually becomes a difficult thing that team's going to have to juggle, there's no more important deal to get done right now than the Aaron Donald deal. So for today is a massive victory lap around Los Angeles.
So, Field, let's look at the team that doesn't seem to know what to do with their star defensive player. What are the Raiders doing with Khalil Mack?
If I was in studio right now, I would just do that emoji where the person just holds his or her two hands up in the air and says, I don't know, kind of shrugs, right? I would say this. I can't recall in my lifetime a situation that was quite like this, where it's not just that you have a player who wants a new deal. That happens all the time. I mean, that happens on all levels, in all sports. But it feels as though there has been almost literally no communication between the two sides. And the problem is this, is what is the impetus to get the ball rolling? And the answer might be the Aaron Donald deal. It might be that Khalil Mack and his agent Joel Siegel say, all right, now we have a boilerplate contract that allows us to know what the market is. And not that Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald play the same position, but the idea being the two most dominant defensive players in the NFL, or at least a compelling case for each of them. We know what one of them is making, 6 years, $137 million or so for Aaron Donald, factoring in the money he's going to make on his fifth-year option. But this deal for Khalil Mack now has a little bit of precedent. You might be able to say, okay, we can use the Aaron Donald specifics to get the ball rolling. That being said, it took us almost a year and a half for the Aaron Donald deal to get done. So I don't think that just because the Donald deal is done, that a Khalil Mack deal is a couple of snaps of the fingers away. This one could take some serious time.
Phil, do you see them dealing him, or is this one of these things where they just stalemate all year?
Here's my contention is that, it's easy for me to say. I'm not the one that's writing the check, and I'm not the one that has to balance the rest of the salary cap. But generally speaking, when you have a generational talent, like, I just feel like you need to do your best to get that situation sorted out and, and just, like, figure everything else around it, right? And what I find interesting or perhaps compelling is this, is think about, like, I've heard the argument, so to speak, that maybe the Raiders want to see how Khalil Mack fits into their system in order to decide just how to value him, and not whether he's worth the long-term investment, but whether he is worth record-setting money. Like, can you imagine if the Lakers said to LeBron this year, you know, like, we want to see how you fit in our system before we commit to you for max money over the next 4 years. Right? I know that, like, it's a somewhat obscure cross-board example, but that's the part that's confusing to me, which is why I don't know that anything would surprise me anymore with Khalil Mack. The fact that this is John Gruden's team now, and when you've got 10 years and $100 million guaranteed coming your way, in other words, that means it's your show to run. And you've got all kinds of leverage, and you've got all kinds of job security that another coach around the NFL, if this was, and you know, pick a team, spin the wheel and land on Arizona, Steve Wilks, a new head coach, I don't know that he has quite the built-in cachet because of his contract that John Gruden does. So would I be stunned if he was traded? No. I'd be surprised, not stunned.
Field Yates, ESPN, joining us here, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Ken Wyman with you. Let's get to On the Field. Two teams seem to be trendy, one in each conference, or two of the trendy teams. Chargers in L.A. in the AFC West and the 49ers in the NFC West. Both teams finished the 2017 season strong. Are you buying either one of those teams being true contenders this year?
Yeah, I am. I'm buying the L.A. Chargers more than I am the San Francisco 49ers for this reason. In life, and I'd say in sports in particular, we do have a recency bias, in my opinion, that we often follow. And the 49ers offense was very good last year when Jimmy Garoppolo was inserted as starting quarterback after being acquired in a trade. But defensively, guys, they got a lot of holes, like a lot of holes. You know, who's consistently generating pass rush for the San Francisco 49ers? Who is where's the depth at linebacker? And at cornerback, Richard Sherman is going to play, and I think play at a pretty effective level. But still, like, they needed more than one cornerback this offseason to really upgrade that spot on the roster. So my feeling is that not only do the 49ers have some defensive concerns, but if you look at the NFC, I think there's at least a case to be made that five of the top seven teams or six of the top nine teams are in the NFC this year. We all feel really good about Philadelphia. Feel really good about Minnesota, New Orleans, and maybe Carolina, Atlanta. Like, there's some really good teams. Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, the LA Rams. It just feels top heavier in the NFC. That the scramble for that first or second wild card spot in the conference is going to be a little bit different for the 49ers than it will be for the LA Chargers.
Phil, I'm curious because we haven't talked to you about the Ravens yet, and yeah, nice to get an outside perspective. How good do you think this football team will be this year?
You know, I think that when a team is really dominant in a previous year, we tend to overlook other dominant teams at the same time. And where I'm going with that is this. We talk almost exclusively, maybe on a national radar, about how good the Jaguars were defensively last year, right? I mean, and they were ridiculous. They were incredible. They were good on all three levels. We don't talk that much about how good the Ravens were on defense last year, right? I mean, like, sincerely dominant as well. And talented players in all three levels. We'll see, you know, how do they piece together the cornerback rotation when Jimmy Smith is unavailable for the first 4 weeks of the season. But still, I mean, they got the job done without Jimmy for parts of last season as well. So I think the Ravens have a chance to be, you know, right there in the top two or three defenses of the league this year. And I've heard some positive buzz, and we've seen it certainly on offense in terms of a rejuvenated passing game. I tell people sometimes that I'd love to come out and make the point about a team that no one else has made and be the but for the Ravens, in a lot of cases, the best thing to do is just keep it simple. If the passing game can get consistent vertical production, it's got a chance to be really good. It's got a chance to be really, really good. And John Brown, if he can turn in a really strong regular season after a seemingly strong preseason, it's going to be interesting. That'll be what decides whether the Ravens win the AFC North and have a chance to bat on the AFC, or whether they end up fighting for a second wild card spot again like they were during week 16 and 17 of last year.
Hey, Phil, before we let you run, Bob Haney's not a fantasy guy. He does daily fantasy. I do play fantasy football. I'm in three leagues. I know you're a fantasy guy, so how many leagues are you in?
I'm at six right now. and I got to tell you guys, like, I'm, as far as I know, my wedding is still on for next summer.
Nice.
Although after these past few days and the next few days ahead, my fiance may change her mind. Actually, it worked out perfectly this year. We got invited to a wedding in Barcelona this weekend. But I couldn't go because of, you know, all the football that's taking place. So she's gone for a week. So the fact that she's gone during the week when I have all these drafts, maybe she can gloss over the fact that I play in way too many fantasy leagues and spend an obscure amount of time in mock draft rooms, you know, having conversations with random computer users who may or may not just be anything more than a Twitter egg. So yeah, it's a, it's a very fun time. To me, it's a great way to connect with groups that you haven't had the day-to-day communication with. And Daily Fantasy is great as well. So I'm in on both.
Field Yates, ESPN. Field, finally great to catch up with you. Thanks for your time, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Next time I won't delay on you for 3 days or whatever.
We'll yell at our producer. Gives us something to talk about.
There you go.
Thanks, man. Phil. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Field Yates.
Solid.
Finally. Hey, worth the wait, Leland. Yeah. Good job. Pat yourself on the back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.